We're going to an infrequently discussed passage, and this is in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Joseph has had a dream, and then he has another dream, and this is it. He told it to his brethren, and he said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And then he told this dream to his father, and again to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. And his father observed the saying. Now there's a strange thing. His brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now that has never been discussed. We know that the father observed the saying, but we don't know what the saying is. And so this begins a pilgrimage through the Bible to find out. His father heard about the dream that the sun and the moon made obeisance to Joseph. The brethren envied him, but the father observed the saying. Now we find something very similar to that in Daniel. So we're going to try to find out what it means that way. And this passage in Daniel is chapter 7. Verse 28. "Hitherto is the end of the matter. And as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now this should be likened unto the saying that the father of Joseph kept the saying. In other words, he did as Daniel did here. He kept the matter in his heart. And we're tracing this because it's going to lead us now to Mary, who, when the shepherds came to her after the birth of the child, she said nothing, but she pondered. And we want to get the exact phrase in Luke because this is similar to what Daniel did. He kept the matter in his heart. Now in Luke we're told that Mary pondered these things in her heart. And let's go there. This is Luke 1:66. Oh, this is very interesting. In Luke 1:66, the same thing happens after the birth of John the Baptist. "And they all that heard these things laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with them." Just as later Mary pondered in her heart, after Zacharias agreed to christen the child John, which was not normal in his family tradition, all were surprised and they laid these matters up in their hearts. And now we come over to Luke 2:19. After the shepherds had come and paid obeisance to Mary, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now you ponder in your mind. And it never says that these individuals laid these matters up in their mind, but in their heart. And now we come to the realization then that the heart in the Bible refers to your consciousness. We see then that there was something on the earth at the time known to men who were illumined, and namely that there was a consciousness, a consciousness which they called the heart in their symbolism. And we have Mary here now who is pondering these things in her consciousness, which is different than taking thought. To ponder in one's heart or consciousness is to commune with the Father within. And Mary is pondering in her heart. Now there are ancient texts that tell us that before Mary herself was born, her mother Hannah would walk into a room and a light from the unborn child would precede the mother and light up the room. Such was the power in this Mary before birth. And this same Mary now, with child herself, has produced from her communion, from her pondering in her heart, another child which, like herself, bears this illumination. And later to this child will descend a spirit in the form of a dove to emphasize a special quality in this child which she has brought forth. Now there is one more pondering of Mary in her heart which gives us a clue which has never been mentioned to my knowledge. A clue to something important to us because this happens to be Mother's Day. A clue which would be important on any other day. But possibly this is the fitting day to present it. Now here we come to Luke 3, the 51st verse, I thought. There is no 51st fourth verse. Luke 2. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. The child is already past the age of 12. And still the mother is keeping all these sayings in her heart. And the line that follows is the revelation. She is keeping all these sayings in her heart. She is ever in divine consciousness. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The relationship between her keeping all these things in her heart and the increasing stature in wisdom of Jesus and his favor with God are related. It is the mother's awareness of the divine nature of her child which is maintaining him in the presence of God, which functions in him as the mother's consciousness revealing itself as the increased wisdom of the child. This is the revelation here, that Mary's consciousness is still the consciousness expressing in Jesus. The very juxtaposition of these two verses. And so we now find that the power expressing on earth in Jesus owes its source to the consciousness of God which is in Mary, which is moving through Jesus at this time. And we find then that this inner wisdom, this divine knowledge, is something that has come through Mary for many, many lifetimes, even before her own birth, continuing with her inner knowledge of the presence of God into a birth of a child called, erroneously, the Immaculate Conception. The real birth of the child should be called a miraculous conception, because you will discover a difference between the miraculous conception and the immaculate conception. But that will follow. Now we find then the relationship between Mary pondering in her heart and the increased stature of Jesus as he walks the earth, which ultimately will consummate in the Immaculate Conception, which is not the first conception physically of the child, but rather is the Immaculate Conception, or the descent of the dove after the spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. This becomes the Immaculate Conception. And today's lesson is primarily about your Immaculate Conception, the descent of the Holy Ghost in you. But before this may happen, we must be guided by the activity of Mary in her pondering within, for this too is a prerequisite for us. And so we're going to move carefully from Mary's pondering, from her deep communion, and see that this must now become as much of an important undertaking to us as it was to her. For we are not depending on our parents to bring us into the Immaculate Conception as Jesus did unto his mother. We are going to make possible our own Immaculate Conception. And so all that occurred in Mary must occur in us. Now the heart, the consciousness, being quite different from the mind, this was always veiled by the prophets throughout the New Testament. But uppermost in their work was to reveal a realm called the heart or the consciousness. For it is only in this consciousness that the will of God can express. It is only through this consciousness that the Holy Ghost can descend upon us. And so today, if we are to be mother to our own Immaculate Conception, we must be living now in that consciousness which alone can receive the divine will. The divine will express, as the Christ will express as the activity of light in you, and that activity of light in you, which is the expression of Christ in you, is the activity of the Holy Ghost, which in its very highest activity is called the Comforter. And we wish to trace this activity of Christ in you as the Holy Ghost, and finally as the Comforter, into your Immaculate Conception. But we must build our foundation. We must begin where we can see that through this careful laying of a foundation, the Christ was born and became the first begotten, the first to actually receive the highest level of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, symbolized later by the dove. Now let us hold the stillness a moment. For this is how we ponder within our heart. In the stillness, you are opening your consciousness away from the world of the senses and unto the Father, so that the Christ within, the Son of the Father, the identity of your being, can send forth the light, which is the Holy Ghost, as an activity of the Christ within you. And that activity, coming through your opened or expanded consciousness, becomes the Word made flesh to dwell among us, in the midst of us. And this Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost, will then be your direct cognition of the will, the wisdom, the image of God within yourself, as contrasted to your indirect cognition of this divine activity through your five senses, which look not within but without. We are removing one step in the hypnosis. And that step is your cognition of the outer world, which is not laying up your treasures in heaven, but laying up your treasures where moth and rust corrupt. And we are going within, as Mary did, in communion, to ponder within our consciousness. For through this activity, we will receive the divine impulse, which is the activity of the Christ in us, called the Holy Ghost. Now, hitherto, you may have supposed that the Holy Ghost was the activity of God the Father, extending to Christ the Son, and that between the Father and the Son was the Holy Ghost. But you're going to see this is not so. The activity of the Ghost is between the Christ of your being and your human consciousness. And it is this activity received within you which makes possible the transformation from man of earth to Son of God, or the realization of the Christ. Now, we're opening our consciousness, as Mary did, to the prophets of old, for it is they who prepared these inner mansions for us. Jeremiah was one of those who knew the truth. Daniel, Ezekiel, all of the early books knew the secret of inner communion, listening to receive a substance which alone can transform man of earth into Son of God. That substance is Christ, and its activity in you is the Holy Ghost. Now, today, we want to learn that the Holy Ghost is the great secret through which heaven comes to earth. It is the great invisible activity which makes possible the expression of the qualities of God, invisibly transformed into your visible life. Only through the Holy Ghost does this happen. As you look out upon the multiplication of loaves and fishes, you are witnessing the invisible activity of the Holy Ghost, and through the direct cognition of this invisible activity, each of the 5,000 sees a loaf or a fish which they may eat, but they are looking directly at the Holy Ghost and not at a loaf or a fish. this activity of the Holy Ghost, which appears as a loaf and a fish, is there because of the consciousness of the Christ in the one called Jesus. And that consciousness of the Christ and of the activity of the Christ appears invisibly as the Holy Ghost, which the human sense retranslates into the fulfillment of its need. For example, you have a need. The Spirit within you has already fulfilled that need. You have no real need. You have a need only because you have not touched the Spirit of your being, which would reveal to you the fulfillment of that need. And so your temporary sense of separation from the Spirit of your own being appears visibly in the outer as a need unfulfilled. Now, as you ponder in your heart, as this becomes your way of life, as through your new awakened consciousness, the Spirit of you is released into you, that activity now becomes the Holy Ghost. And that is what you directly see in your quickened state, but you see it from within, and your outer senses translate that invisible Holy Ghost, which you have contacted through your quickened sense of life, and now you translate it directly into the fulfillment of that need without processes. If you were not quickened through the pondering of the heart, you would look at the same invisible Holy Ghost and not see it. Instead, through your eyes, you would perceive that which the universal mortal mind presents to you, again invisibly, but this time in the form of atoms. And as you perceive these atoms, which are invisible to your naked eye, you convert them into the absence of that which you need, which is the expression of a need. You are looking at universal mortal mind, which presents invisible atoms to you, and this makes you think you have a need. These invisible atoms presented to you by universal mortal mind are its concept of the Holy Ghost. But when you can bypass the universal mortal mind by the quickening within yourself through the pondering in your own consciousness, you are then moving past the five sense belief in a need, and you are directly receiving the activity of the Holy Ghost as the fulfillment of the need. And by this you may come to realize that the Holy Ghost invisible is the activity of the Christ in you, and the atomic world, which science has discovered, is the activity of universal mortal mind in you. And these are the two invisible masters. You either serve the Holy Ghost or the world of atoms. Both are invisible. And the unillumined mind serves the atom, which is presented to us invisibly by universal mortal mind. And we convert these invisible atoms into physical forms, objects. They do not have the blessing of God. They do not contain the wisdom or the will of God. They are the almost perfect imitations of the activity of God. But as you receive, instead, through your direct cognition, the activity of Christ within, the activity now of the Holy Ghost in you produces something which is quite different than the world has known. And this is incorporeal form. This incorporeal form is spiritual flesh, divine invisible manifestation, the Word made flesh, that dwells among us now. And as we perceive it directly through spiritual discernment, outwardly appears joy. Outwardly appears harmony. Outwardly appear the fruits of the Spirit. Divinity made manifest as the peace, the happiness, the health, the harmony. For this is that which the Father giveth, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. I give you the Christ and the activity thereof, which is the Holy Ghost. And these three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, are one. And they bear witness to the invisible kingdom of God on earth, manifest invisibly as spiritual flesh, in corporeal form, and then, through the naked human eye, you will see the activity of God appearing to you as the health of your own countenance, the perfection of your own being in all things, for you have touched that Trinity which is one, which is grace. Now, we're only coming to the point of this discussion, for when you perceive that the Holy Ghost is eventually going to be the substance which you experience of every form on this earth. At the moment, what you experience is your mental concept of an atomic universe presented by a universal mortal mind. And these forms are good and they are evil. So perfect is the imitation of the kingdom of God by universal mortal mind that when the perfect form of the soul is placed next to it, you cannot tell the difference. And that happened only once, when the form of Jesus stood next to the forms of other men. We perceived the Holy Ghost as form, and we called it Jesus. And you could not tell the difference between that form and the form of other men. It was the same appearance in flesh. To all outward appearances, Jesus, the Holy Ghost form, and your physical form would be the same. And the major difference is that one lived in the kingdom of God on earth and one lived in this world. Side by side, they looked alike. The fourth principle, after God the Father, God the Christ, the Son, and then God, the activity of the Christ, the Holy Ghost, the fourth principle is the Comforter. You see, the Holy Ghost is already functioning as your being and as the activity of your being, and you feel it now as an impulse. You feel it now as the fruits of the Spirit in various forms of harmony. In various ways, you are aware of a divine activity within you, and that is Holy Ghost. But now it comes in a still higher way, and that is the fourth principle, which is the Comforter. When the Comforter comes unto you, this is your transmutation. This is your transfiguration. This is the moment in which the man of flesh is no more. This is the moment in which Spirit transforms you completely into the Holy Ghost itself. And then your form is a soul form. When the Comforter has come unto you is the significance of the dove. For at that moment, having received the Spirit of God in its highest activity, the man Jesus really no longer existed. You are now looking at the invisible Comforter, the invisible Holy Ghost, which was the Word made flesh, spiritual flesh. And again, human eyes would look at that spiritual flesh and see a physical form. not knowing that the physical form they were seeing there was a mental image they had made while looking at the Holy Ghost, for they were so used to looking at atoms and making mental images into physical forms that they could not tell the difference. Jesus at this point was the first begotten of the Father. The first who had succeeded in actually becoming the realized Holy Ghost. This that you look at when you see that in the Bible is the story of you. For everything that happened to him is the story of us. We shall all be the living Holy Ghost realized. And we are in that process now. When we attain it, we are fully Christed, and we live no longer in this world. Now, meanwhile, as we ponder, as we cogitate, as we rest in the inner communion, the activity of the Holy Ghost is forming our spiritual body, this moment. This forming of the spiritual body by the Holy Ghost is the activity of every initiate in this work. And as the spiritual body is formed in you, as you feel this activity, you will discover the miraculous law through which the Holy Ghost appears to you as the fulfillment of your outer needs. You will never label that fulfillment as the Holy Ghost, but you will be able to tell by its harmony, by its peace, by the various manners in which no one can remove from you that which is yours by divine grace. You will know that this represents in you the pure activity of the Holy Ghost appearing outwardly as the substance of the forms which we will call the added things. This is the way in which the added things come to you as you seek first to ponder in your heart, as Mary did, to commune within, for this is seeking first the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God releases the activity of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, and then the added things appear by grace. Up to now, the Holy Ghost has played very little part in our work. We have said in the presence of the Spirit there is fulfillment. But you will have noticed that when you strive to turn away from this world and rest in the silence, one of your major difficulties has been that there's no place to rest. It's as if you turn away from the world and you have no place to go. I'm trying to go within. I rest, but there's no place for me to rest. It's as if you had a hat and wanted to hang it somewhere, but there's no hook. And now you've taken your mind away from out there and turned it within, but you don't know where to put it. You cannot then keep your conversation in heaven. But now, as the activity of the Holy Ghost becomes known to you, you're not just using a word spirit as something inert, something that doesn't move. You're feeling a Holy Ghost activity, and you can rest your mind there. You can find a place in this within where you can rest. where you can realize there's something happening there. There is a divine infinite activity happening there. And you can feel this as tangibly as you would if you reached out your hand to touch an apple or a flower or a person's face. Just as tangibly now, you can feel Christ's activity within. And you can see why, in the turning from the outer to the inner, we are not left in a blankness, but instead we are entering the most intense activity of all. We are entering the radiance of divinity within ourself, and this is not quietness as man knows quietness. This is the inner quickening of the spirit. This is the source, the fountainhead. This is where the Father's will alone is expressed. And only when you have the Holy Ghost activity in you is the Lord building your house. Only then is the will of the Father going to be made manifest in your outer experience. And so now we follow John as he tells us that there are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are one. And he tells us to rest in the joy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Know then, therefore, that the activity of God in you, called the Holy Ghost, is constant. It is a 24-hour-a-day activity. It is going on this minute. And to turn away from it is the only sin there is. That is the sin against the Holy Ghost. Our sin against the Holy Ghost is to leave it, which is the will of the Father expressing invisibly as the Word made flesh, and to turn to our own human mind. This is the sin against the Holy Ghost. The sin we commit every moment because of our unawareness of its presence. The Christ, the divine image of God, flows outwardly in expression through you to express that perfect divine image and likeness, and its modus operandi is the Holy Ghost, which contains the full Godhead. And because this is fully operative at all time, Mary pondered in her heart. She rested in the Word. She let the Holy Ghost do all the work before the child appeared and after the child appeared, even unto the time when 12 years old he addressed those in the temple and astounded them with his knowledge. But what was it? It was the activity of the Holy Ghost released through Mary's integrity to the Spirit of God within her and within him. To abide in this, to rest in your own divine consciousness, is the only place where you receive the living will of God instead of the imitation called this world. Freedom is going to come that way. If you lived in Biafra now, and you were one of those starving, if it were possible for you, through a transformation in consciousness, to ponder within your heart, as Mary did, to rest in the Word, to touch the Spirit of God within you, the activity of the Holy Ghost to you would be manna from heaven. It would be your bread of life. And this activity is in you this moment, saying, I am come that ye may have life. And as we turn from it, we are sinners. What we do after that will be of this world, without substance, without grace, without law, without divine intelligence. It will be man of earth running forth, glorifying man of earth, and not Son of God. That final step to bring forth his will through the activity of the recognition of the Holy Ghost was what was sought in the words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That was the teaching to turn and let the activity of the Holy Ghost, which alone bears the imprint of the will, to come forth as the added things of your life. And then, not only as the added things through inner impulse, but to eventually take over your complete being and reveal itself as the substance of you, the living comforter. And that transmutation becomes your transfiguration. This is your immaculate conception, when all there is of you is the Holy Ghost. Then you are anointed. Then you are Christ incarnate. Then you have finally done what Jesus said he was doing. I must work by day. You have permitted yourself to become Christed while on this earth. And this is the Immaculate Conception. This conception is the immortality, the life eternal, the life without death realized. Now, on Mother's Day, we learn that we are to be our own mother for this Immaculate Conception. We are to reach that level of inner knowing in which God the Father, God the Son, the Christ, God the Holy Ghost, and God the highest activity of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, are all one, and I, immaculately conceived as that one, stand here on this earth as the child of God. That is our individual destiny. When we are working for it to be perfect as our Father, which is in heaven, we are living under the law of God. We are living as the pure at heart. Because the same heart of Mary, that consciousness, was the pure at heart. It was permitting the four principles of God the Father, the Son, the Ghost, and the Comforter to be the one consciousness of Mary. And we too must learn to be that pure at heart, letting these four divine principles as one be our consciousness. And then we will see God face to face. We're going to rest a moment in silence now. And rather than simply be still while the mind is kicking around trying to demand your attention, let us place our thought consciously now upon the Holy Ghost. Let us see that this Holy Ghost is an activity on an infinite level in which every quality of the Father, which is every quality of the Son, the Christ, is seeking to come through you. These qualities are all knocking at the door of your consciousness. Love is saying, "Let me in." Peace is saying, "Open up." Truth is saying, "I am here." Life is saying, "Know me aright." Wisdom is saying, I am yours for the taking. Every quality of God is saying, all that I have is thine. And I am expressing now as an activity, every quality is saying, I am omnipresent to your being. Wherever you can see, I am. Every quality of God is omnipresent to you at this moment as a living spiritual activity called the Holy Ghost. Will it take form in you? That depends on you. It will take form in you as you turn and live, as you awake from the sleep. This turning, this awakening, is the acceptance of the kingdom of God within through a consciousness which turns away from every thought, every graven image, every mental idea of your human selfhood. You cannot ask the Holy Ghost to enter a human mind. You cannot ask the Holy Ghost to enter a human consciousness. You cannot ask the Holy Ghost to enter except that perfect habitation which is called the pure at heart, in which you have consciously relinquished mortality, mentality, physicality, and you stand there completely virgin, receiving only of the Father within. And then, having sought first this kingdom as a pure consciousness, devoid of material thought, without thought, you are creating that second of a vacuum. Oh, it may be less than a second, but in that less than a second of a mental vacuum, the bridegroom cometh. You become married to the Holy Ghost. That's why Mary was called the bride of the Holy Ghost. Through this mental vacuum and this opened consciousness within, she married the Holy Ghost. And this was then the golden wedding garment, or the soul, the spiritual body, born in her, born in Jesus later, born in you and in me as we follow his footsteps. If you believe on me, the Christ, and my activity in you, which is the Holy Ghost, then these works that I do, ye shall do. And you can only express that belief by turning to me, picking up your cross of matter, and following the Christ within. Just before, Jesus gives us the great passage of take no thought about your life, what ye shall wear. He gives us the other passage which tells us you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God consciousness and human consciousness. And if you want to serve God consciousness and receive the Holy Spirit which manifests ultimately as your body ready for perfect transition, then you must learn to take no thought, to not exist in a human consciousness. Now we're in a place in initiation where nothing is impossible to us. But there is a natural shrinking away in the mortal mind which wants to preserve itself. And so we do not take that necessary step of the total effacement of the human self, which alone is the pure at heart. The remnant of mortality in you is the deterrent, which tells the Holy Ghost, don't form harmony and love and happiness and peace in me. I'm not interested. I'm going to try a little longer to find them my own way. And this is how man unknowingly has put aside the things he is seeking, while he goes out to seek them, unrealizing that he has already turned them away. Now let's take this then as a beginning to our understanding of the heart, which is the consciousness, and the Holy Ghost, which is the incredibly miraculous activity of Christ within you, which manifests outwardly as the added things, and then continues, having established its identity, having established its grace, to slowly transfigure your very body from mortal flesh to immortal flesh. And this will be the place where we'll take a moment of silence before a little rest.